Sunday, Fifth Sunday Fellowship. Don't forget this. I would like to talk to you and tell you a sad story. You may not know this about me, but for many years I was a nurse's aide, and I worked in a number of nursing homes and care facilities, and that's how I paid my way through school. I enjoyed it a lot, but eventually I thought, I'm called to be a pastor, so I never became a nurse. I never went on. But one of the places I worked at, a care facility, I'd walk by this old lady's room, the door would be open, and she's always laying with her arms like this and her legs spread out. And she would always call to me, "Are you out there?" "Yes." She'd say, "Can you bring me some pain medicine?" Every day she said this to me. And I went to the nurse and I said, "What is her deal with pain? She's always wanting, is she addicted? What's the deal?" And she says, "Oh no, she's in a lot of pain." And come to find out, through the course of one time I was on the shift I was on, I helped in her room, and her body was filled with cancer. She didn't have long to live, and her children would not let us tell her. I don't know how they got away with this, but they would not tell her what her medical condition was, and they gave her a small cell phone, and she had poor eyesight, and they told us, "Don't ever help her use it. If you help her use that cell phone, we'll pull her from this facility." And before they leave every visit, they'd say, "Oh, call us anytime, day or night. We're happy to help you." And I just thought, wow, that's an awful, awful way to treat someone that's your parent and to play games with them just a terrible situation. And it is a sad story, and it's very important that we realize that people that have lived longer deserve our respect. And people that live longer deserve our care. If you think about how much work goes into parenting, until you are a parent, you have no idea, okay? You think you know, but you really don't. I tell new parents before they have their child, take a nap, you know? You can feel good one last time. But someone that has been a parent, someone that has lived a long time, they deserve someone to take care of them as they get older. And that's right, okay? And and sometimes we forget about people that are elderly and in need. And it's very important that we care about them as the Christian community that we are. So we're going to talk about 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you don't have a Bible with you, there's a Bible in front of you on the pew rack, and it's page 1673. So the black Bible in front of you, 1673, or 1 Timothy chapter 5. And so we're going to learn today about our response to those in need, the widow. And as a church, what's our responsibilities? And as Christian believers, how should we think about each other? Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for this passage of Scripture that you have given us. And Lord, you have something to teach us. Help us to learn it, Lord. I know you've worked in my life with this passage. And I pray that I'd share those lessons that you're teaching me. And Lord, help me to learn it myself and so that I can pass them on. Help me to be clear with your word. And may your word have effect and power as we look at the Scripture this evening. In your name, amen. The word widow comes from the word that literally means bereft, or alone, or without, I should say. So widows are often lonely because they're bereft, they're without. And widows are vulnerable people. And throughout the Bible, God shows special care and concern. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's all kinds of laws and regulations to protect the widows. And he talks about how he keeps in mind these people, and it's his goal to protect them and to care for them because they're very important to him. Some familiar verses that you may know, some of the most familiar verses in the New Testament, relate to this very topic. James 1:27, what's pure religion? Well, James 1:27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So pure religion involves care for those in need, care for the widow. Also, another thing you might think about the widow is in Acts chapter 6, the very first deacons that are appointed, why are they appointed? The Grecian widows aren't being taken care of in the early church, and it causes a commotion, and it could cause a fracturing in the body of Christ because they're being treated unfairly compared to some of the other widows. And so the deacons are appointed to oversee. That's the very first job of a deacon that was ever appointed, was the care of widow. Now, the deacon goes beyond that, but that's the basis of the very first thing that deacons were supposed to do, the care of widows, to make sure that they were well taken care of. So as I say every sermon, I'll say, I feel like a broken record, but here it is, it's true. And so it's profound, so I'll keep saying it. Imagine older Paul, okay, much wiser in the face. Imagine younger Timothy pastoring. Why do pastors have authority? Pastors have authority to take care of people and to handle problems. It's not just so they can have authority, obviously. But those in leadership are given the leadership so they can help others. And so Paul is going to help young Timothy. Young Timothy, you have this church. You have a hot potato in your church. It's called widows. What will you do with them? If you handle this incorrectly, you could hurt a lot of people. You could damage your ministry. However, if you handle this correctly, you can help a lot of people. And you can also build trust in your ministry. And this will help your leadership. So he's going to help young Timothy as he deals with this. Now, in dealing with this issue of care for widows, it's not just care for widows that this is talking about. This is talking about the ethic that we have as a church body. This talks about how we relate to each other. Okay, don't just see this in isolation. This is fitting in a whole chapter about relationships among people. And so this will teach us an ethic of how we deal with others. Okay. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 3. It said, "Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephew," or the word could be, I think a better translation would be grandson or granddaughter, "let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication in prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken to the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lost strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work." So the key to this passage found in verse 3. And so verse 3 kind of lays out the rest of the passage. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Okay? Now the word honor there, what does it mean to honor widows? Okay? If you look at other places in Scripture that word is used, Mark chapter 7, verse 20, refers to financially. Honor involves giving financially. Another way it's used, later on in the next chapter, it'll be used of elders. And I think it has the idea of more of respect. So is this referring to monetary honor, respect? I'm going to say yes. Yes to both things, I think, apply. And we'll talk about what does it mean to be a widow indeed. He goes on to explain this. So this passage teaches us that widows need our prayer and support as a church. And this is my main idea. This passage teaches us that widows need our prayer and support as a church. This is the mission God has given us as a family to care for each other. And those that are in particular need and particular vulnerability is the widows of our church. And we should show care and concern for them. So we'll see three truths that aid in the care of widows. Truth number one, the first line of care for widows is their family. The first line of care for the widow is their family. Verse number 4, but if any widow have children or nephew, also can be translated grandson, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. So just imagine Timothy, he has a church and they have widows. Now, he doesn't have Social Security. There's no Medicare, Medicaid, these kind of things. These people are fighting for their existence. Okay, we're not trying to talk about having money for a vacation. We're just saying putting food on the table. And so as a church body, treating each other like a family, they're going to put the needs of the widows and say, if we don't help them, they may not eat. And so we're going to make them our first priority. Now, in this care, who should be helping them? Who should be paying for them? If they're elder, they may not be able to have any kind of income. There's not a lot of jobs available in the ancient Near East for women. So who's going to care for these people? Well, the first level of responsibility is going to be their families, okay? Your family, if you have children, grandchildren, these are the first people that should be caring for them. And I'm going to say this to us as well. The people that we have that are our parents and grandparents, they need our care and support. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen my grandmother. My grandmother, it's hard to keep her in one place. She's full of energy. I think when we were teenagers, she used to wrestle with the guys. And the one year, she broke my brother's glasses. And then the one year, she got hurt. She's sledding, and she's in her 70s, and she didn't know how to act her age. We kept telling her. But she's someone that's full of energy and life and vigor and enthusiasm. And so I think caring for her is maybe different than other grandmothers. She visited me this past week, and just being able to talk to her, be able to encourage her. I try to text her from time to time to remind her that I'm praying for her and I love her. And those kind of things mean a lot to her. And those are the things I hope if the Lord is gracious to me and I have grandchildren, that'd be nice. It's a ways away, I know. And I've already warned my kids about marrying losers. I say, don't do it. Assuming my children marry nice young men, nice Christian young men, and that are kind, I hope that they treat me with kindness when I'm old, okay? And so practicing the golden rule, I like to think I'm going to do that with her. I'm going to talk to her and listen to her and support her and encourage her. And so we should be caring for our grandparents. So the first line of defense for the widow is her own family, and they should care for her and show kindness. All right, truth number two. The first one was really fast, wasn't it? That was a really fast point. They get slower from there. I'm sorry. The first one was short. Truth number two, being a widow does not mean your life no longer has a mission. Being a widow does not mean your life no longer has a mission. Letter A, widows have an opportunity to be close to God. Verse number five, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayer night and day. Many wives feel like their identity is bound to the fact that they have children or a husband. Okay, that's who I am. I'm mother, I'm wife. And they slave away and they work so hard to provide for those groups. Okay, and now, if your children are older, this is talking about older ladies, if your children are older, maybe they moved away, and then your husband passes away, then it's like, you know, what am I? And what's my mission? I don't have kids. I don't have a husband. And so I feel like it's a dramatic change in season of life for someone that's a widow. And as a widow, I think every time you change seasons, you have to reevaluate where you're at. Will I do the right thing? Will I check out? And when people change locations, change careers, change roles in families, different things that can happen. With each change, though, you have to evaluate, where am I and what decisions do I choose to make? And so I can imagine, here this widow is, and she has served her family faithfully, and now her children don't need her the same way they used to, and now the husband's gone. And so she asks herself, what's my life about? What am I doing? If this is your situation, don't be discouraged. Being single is a gift. I know we tend to talk about it the other way, but Paul has a lot to say about the gift of singleness and how you're able to devote yourself to the Lord in ways that us that are married, we don't have the time. We really don't. We just walk around, and then we go to the store and we walk around some more. We have all these things we got to do. I spend half my day running for milk, I think. I know all the people at this Walmart. I know them all. That's what happens when you're married. And I'm happy. I'm happy with marriage. It's a gift. But there's a gift that also God gives to single people, and that should not be overlooked, that God has given them that mission. And they're able to pray and communicate with God in a way that others may not. And so, if you're a widow, realize that this is a gift from the Lord. Secondly, also, widows should not make pleasure their top priority. Widows should not make their pleasure their top priority. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. At no time in the Christian life is pleasure our number one goal. At no time in the Christian life is my own self-enjoyment, my own hedonisticness. At no time is that the number one thing that I'm about. Okay, I'm put on this earth with a mission and a purpose. Now, I will say this, as I follow Christ, there's all kinds of things that I'm going to enjoy in the process. But that's not my number one goal. My number one goal is not to take a fancy vacation. Okay, you can take vacations, but my life is not about vacations. It's not about how many places I can go shopping or how many baseball games I can go to. I might enjoy those things. That's not the purpose of my life. My number one purpose in life is to serve the Lord. And the Lord gives us exciting things along the way. But any time our number one goal is self-gratification, we've missed the boat, and we've missed why we're on this earth. And God can't bless someone that's just constantly relaxing or finding things to enjoy. And the Lord's not going to use you. Let me remind you, we don't live for this world. This world is temporary. This world is like a hotel room. How many of you make the bed in the hotel room? Be honest, any moment of honesty, a few of you? Okay, you should be ashamed. You pay them money because you're leaving a mess. That's why we, now I know some of you can't help it. But yes, we're there, we enjoy the room, when it's done I leave. That's this world, okay. Well, we should leave a mess in this world. But this analogy breaks down. But I realize I'm not going to live long-term in the hotel room. Like, if I don't like the way the curtains look, that's okay. It's not my problem. That's like Holiday Inn's problem, okay? I'm going to go back to my house, and I'm going to enjoy my house. Now, my house, I like the curtains of my house. That's another thing. But this world is temporary. I think sometimes we fall in love with the world, and we have to have this just the right way, and this vehicle has to be perfect, and this pair of clothing is perfect, and all these things that we just accumulate, and we've really missed our mission. And so it's important. The widow, realize, you're not living for this life. And just because you don't have the things you used to have doesn't mean God's done with you. And it doesn't mean the responsibility's gone. Woo, you can go party and play. No. Living for the pleasure of myself is never going to be satisfying the way God wants my life to be. And so rather than that, verse 7, we need to charge them that they need to be blameless. Okay, my life isn't just about relaxation. It's about focusing on the Lord and drawing close to Him and having the Lord use you. And what a wonderful thing, the Lord using people. I think about Anna in the temple and how the Lord used her after the birth of Christ. And many others that had a great mission, but it was different after they lost their husbands. Their life changed, but yet the Lord still used them. God wasn't done with them. All right, so we're seeing truths on helping those in need, helping widows. We've seen the first line of care of the widow is their family. Secondly, being a widow does not mean your life no longer has a mission. Number three, widows are a God-given responsibility. We must care for people in our earthly family. We must care for people in our earthly family. Verse number 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you read this verse, I mean, this is striking language. And Paul doesn't exaggerate. Paul says, this is the way it is, and that's the way it is. But if you take this at face value, okay, this verse is very striking. If you're not caring for those in your family, those who have needs, he says, it's like you've denied the faith. And by your actions, you're announcing, I don't believe what the Christianity teaches. I don't believe the Bible. I mean, you might say all the right things, but in your life, you're sending a wholly separate message. Wow, what a terrible thing that would be for others to see your life and say, this guy doesn't really believe what the Scripture says. He's not providing for his kids. He's not providing for his wife. He's not providing for someone in his family that's older, a grandparent or an older aunt and uncle. This person isn't really caring for them. What a terrible testimony. So it's very important that we are honoring those that are in our family who are older and they need our care. And maybe it's difficult. Maybe it's a sacrifice on your part. But this is a special mission that God has given you. You know, the Lord could make our lives a lot easier if He wants to. You ever think about this? You ever think about the gift of work? This was before there was sin. People think that sin is a result of the fall. No. People were working hard before the fall. Now, the difficulty in work is a result of the fall. But God has missions and tasks for all of us. You ever think about how much work there is to do? Oh, I think this every day. I walk in my office, I look at all the piles, and I think, which pile am I going to attack today? And which pile will I just pretend is not even there? You know why the Lord gives us all this work to do? This work is a gift to us. Just think, if we ran out of work to do, we would lose purpose. And so it's a gift that we always have something that we can look towards and something that can motivate us. And you know what? The Lord has specifically given us the gift of widows so that we can have something special that we can do for him, and something special that we can do in showing care and concern for them. And this is a special mission that God has given to us. And this is something that's a wonderful thing that God has specifically chosen. He thought of us. Okay, you, I've got something special for you. I'm going to give you this job that will be fulfilling and helpful to you. And so he puts people in our care that we can be of help to them. All right, my next point here. It says we must care for people in our spiritual family. So the first level is our earthly family, people that perhaps share the same DNA or through marriage. The second is the people that are in our spiritual family. These are people within the church that need our help. And he'll specifically define, who are these people? Now, they had limited resources. Once again, remind you, they didn't have all the programs that we have, so I think care is different today than it would have been back then. And the ways that we show care might be a little different, but I think the spirit is the same. So, specifically, who are they going to care for? So, it says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. You know, these are the kinds of things I hope are said about me someday, and the type of person I am, and the types of ministries that I had. This is the kind of person that they would care for. Okay, so we have seven requirements for financial support from the church. Okay, so Paul said these are the people we're just gonna give them whatever they need. So number one, 80 years old. That means 60 years old. A score is 20. You had to be at least 60 years old. Now in that culture, 60 years old meant that you were old. Okay, that was the official age when you were respected as old. Okay, did I hurt anyone's feelings there? I'm sorry. You don't look a day over 59 if you think that I'm putting you down. 60 was old. 60 back then, you got respect. And that's how you knew that you were old. And that was the age I thought you were too old to do anything. Now, they don't have the medical technology we do today. You can't get the artificial hips and all the other stuff that we have that get people excited when they're older. They didn't have that. You were old. Okay, at 60 that was. So you had to be at least 60. And many cultures in our day still put a high value on seniors. Where my parents are in Hungary, there's a different greeting if you're older. They say, in English, they say, I give you a kiss, or I kiss your hand, or how does it go? I don't know. Yeah, I know that's what it is. I'm trying to think of what it means. Something like that, and the person says something back to you nice. What do they say? I forgot. That's Hungarian with Pastor Micah. But anyway, I like the idea of showing respect for those that are older and showing that they've lived longer and they've been through things that you haven't been through, and so you should show kindness to them. So if you're 60, the church will support you. Secondly, she had to have been the wife of one man. Now this is interesting. It's less about the fact that she's been married once. You know, a few chapters previously, it talks about the elders, how he's a one-woman man, meaning there's only one woman on his heart. Meaning not just that he's married to one person, there's only one person that he's thinking about, the one person he's committed to. That's the same word here, okay? So she might have been married more than once, but the idea is that there's one man that she's devoted to and committed to, and maybe if he passed away, then she'd marry somebody else and be committed and devoted to him, okay? So the idea is that she's a loyal wife. Number three, she has the responsibility she has responsibly raised her children. This is a great thing in this day and age to have a mother who has been through the child raising process and has been faithful. And this is such a wonderful testimony towards others to see the example of her children and how she's been faithful. Now, doesn't mean the kids are perfect. I don't want to go there. Because as a parent, I'm not perfect, so I can't expect them to be perfect. But someone that's been faithful, dealing with the things that children are dealing with, helping them when the children need help, and different children are going to have different strengths and weaknesses, and so adjusting to them, getting them the help they need if it's a specific area. But this is something that's really praiseworthy, a mother and how she's helped her children and been faithful in her home. Okay, this is the hardest place to be faithful, right? Is within our own home. All right, number four. She had been hospitable. If she's been hospitable. One ancient historian wrote, I found this, inns in the ancient world were notoriously dirty, notoriously expensive, and notoriously immoral. The hotel wasn't the greatest option back then, and so a lot of times people would house other believers within their home. And this is a great ministry if someone's traveling to come in and show them hospitality, to share warm food with them and shelter. And so this would have been one of the things that commended her, was her sense of hospitality. Number five, she had humbly served her Christian brothers and sisters. This is the idea. It talks about how they washed the saints' feet. Nobody washes my feet except for me, just so you know this. But back then, it was a bigger deal. Just imagine sandals, imagine sand, imagine camels. You can just think about this. Imagine you come to someone's house, and just think about how you feel. You want the feet clean, right, so you can proceed, and the situation can go on. And so just imagine the job of cleaning feet. This isn't the high-paying job. This is the minimum wage job. This is like the burger-flipping job of that day, okay? Nobody wants to be stuck cleaning feet, but just imagine her humility. And just like Christ showed the humility. Remember, the disciples are all arguing, you know, I'm important. No, I'm important. I'm important over here. Don't forget about me being important. In the meantime, Christ is doing what's most important, right? He's showing his servanthood. And he's eclipsing anything that they're going to say or do by being a servant, okay? His idea of service being the most important thing. And he teaches a whole new way of seeing the world, Christ's ethic of the kingdom. And so here she is, okay? She's washing feet. She's putting others first. She's showing a spirit of service. Number six, she had helped people in crisis, or you can translate it in distress. And so it's those who are in particularly difficult situations. Maybe there's some kind of an emergency. Maybe they're in a vulnerable position because of something, some kind of tragedy that's happened. But she was there. When the people were in a tough spot and they were in a crisis, she was there for them. Maybe she helped them so someone could go seek medical help, or I don't know, if they were low on food or whatever it was. But when the time was critical, she was there for them. What a wonderful testimony to think about those who are in need and help them in that time. Number seven, she had devoted herself to good works. She spent the time working, helping others, and showed her faith in Christ through her actions. She had a testimony through how she had acted, and not just filling her time with things that she would enjoy, but filling her times with things that are eternally important and things that really mattered, okay? She was a woman of great character. So we've seen this passage talks about the care of widows in our church, and this is our responsibility to show them our prayer and our help, and this is what really matters. In the Christian community, we have a different way of living, don't we? And as Christ said, they'll know that we're different through our love for each other. And so I hope that our church is a place where we show care and concern for those who are older, and especially those with the widow who doesn't have the support that she once had. I hope that you're praying for those in need. I hope that you're calling, or if it's like my grandma, you can probably text them, and they'll text you back in 2 seconds. And but showing that love and that concern, I hope that this is a mark of what Marquette is, and that we're helping those who are lonely, maybe bringing them a meal or bringing them flowers, showing them love and support. And Christ has a fond place in his heart for helping those in need. And it talks about it, that he says that when it's time for the judgment for believers, he says, you give someone a cold glass of water, I'm gonna act like you gave that to me personally. And Christ remembers how we treat the widows in our church. And it's important that we treat them the way that Christ would, and that he's honored by our example. Let's pray.